Blog
greetings,
Talk
greetings.
Radio. You are listening to Sound Synchronicity on Now Time Radio.
All aboard! Lift
the higher consciousness, but you know all this. The edutainment style will persist. Forget the fear, that knowledge that runs all this.
From the East, House of Light, may wisdom dawn in us, so we may see all things in clarity. From the North, House of Night, may wisdom ripen in us, so we may see all from within. From the West, House of Transformation. May wisdom be transformed into right action, so we may do what must be done. South, House of the Eternal Sun. May right action reap the harvest, so we may enjoy the fruits of planetary being. Above, House of Heaven, where star people and ancestors gather, may their blessings come to us now. Below, House of Earth, may the heartbeat of her crystal core bless us with harmonies to end all war. From the center, galactic source, which is everywhere at once, may everything be known as the light of mutual love. Ayum Hunabku Eva Maya E Maho. Ayum Hunabku Eva Maya E Maho. Ayum Hunabku Eva Maya E Ma ho.
Lakesh, and welcome to another episode of Sound Synchronicity here on Now Time Radio. My name is Makua Nainkini Ray. I am honored to be your host, navigator, for this wonderful exploration in sound and synchronicity. We welcome planetary kin all over the world tuning in tonight, As with every episode, we are experiencing sacred auspicious moments, great synchronicities manifesting at every turn. And we certainly give thanks for the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to feel, because this time is so very precious, so very auspicious. We are always excited for the show to come as we welcome wonderful guests, artists, to share in the revealing and the healing with the listeners who tune in. And tonight, we will shortly be bringing forth our guest, the Red Rhythmic Dragon, none other than Jacob Wyatt, Operation Manager for the Foundation for the Law of Time. As we like to do every week, we begin with an exploration of the day's signature. And today happens to be Ken 99. And I'm reading now, actually, from a book known as the Star Traveler's 13 Moon Almanac of Synchronicity. This is available from the Foundation for the Law of Time. If you're interested in more about that, please visit www.lawoftime.org and go visit the bookstore. And you will find many, many helpful tools and instruments for the shift in consciousness. Among them, this incredible almanac. Today, Ken 99, Blue Galactic Storm. The code for the day reads, I harmonize in order to catalyze, modeling energy. I seal the matrix of self-generation with the galactic tone of integrity. I am guided by the power of abundance. One of the reasons why I really love sharing from this almanac is because there are synchronicities that are revealed every day. Every moment, in fact, is filled with synchronicity. Being that today is Ken 99, one important synchronicity of today, as it even shares in the almanac, is that in the tradition of Islam, there are 99 names of God, or Allah. And the 99th name is As-Sabur, which means the timeless, the patient. As-Saburu is how one would actually say that in the tones and rhythms of Arabic. As-Saburu. And when you say that word, you're actually invoking that quality of Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Most High Creator, the Beneficent, the Merciful. So today being Ken 99, and the fact that there are 99 attributes of Allah, according to the Islamic tradition, we know that today is an energy, a synchronized energy of patience. And I'm sure that each of us can find reasons why we would want to invoke the presence, a spirit of patience in our lives. We've just endured what's known as the Mercury retrograde cycle that's only been a few days out. And I know for myself personally, I can certainly attest that there have been many wonderful challenges and opportunities as it relates to communication, both interpersonal and also technological. Even with today's show as an example, though the listeners out there don't know it, there are always in broadcast wonderful opportunities to invoke patience and that presence, As-Sabur, patient one. So there's no coincidence in the fact that today is that 99th Ken out of the 260. There are also 13 days remaining from today until the end of this Gregorian 2011 year. We can think about that. We know that in the natural time science, any cycle of 13 is called a wave spell. And we understand that these cycles are cycles of creation. So we're looking now, between now and the end of this Gregorian year, as to the quality that we want to invoke, the quality of our creation. Each one of us is a co-creator. We're here with this opportunity to create with the grand architect, the grand artist of all life, known by so many names through so many cultures. And we certainly appreciate love the science of synchronicity. In particular, I like to reflect on the invocation given by Jose Arguelles at the top of every one of our shows, as he gives this invocation, the prayer of the seven galactic directions. I find that there's something incredible in those words, invoking the four cardinal directions in the direction of the heavens, the earth, and the heart, knowing that all of this works together in synchronicity. So let's consider over the next 13 days, as we continue to make this journey, how do we want to close out this Gregorian year, knowing that we're crossing a numerical threshold into something known as 2012, an auspicious experience never before experienced by humanity. This is the most incredible and potent time to consider the qualities that we want to embody, that we want to imbue into our lives, into our relationships, and that we want to invoke of the heart, of the mind, in harmony together. So this Blue Galactic Storm Day, if we really recognize the quality of the galactic tone, harmonization, and the integrity that comes with that, let's consider the opportunity to harmonize. Let's consider that also by looking in our lives and finding the places where we'd like to experience more harmony, and what places do we find ourselves disconnected or having dissonance. You know, this is the opportunity to really look at that and to know that the entire cosmos is working with us at this time. We have but to consider and to tune in to this reality. With that, I would like to go in and play a little bit of music. In fact, I'm going to play a song by myself, a song that I wrote and recorded some years ago in the early times when I was first discovering the law of time and the importance of the dream spell calendar. I wrote a song called Circle, and it was really an idea of challenging us to consider that our thoughts create our reality, yet who controls our brains? You know, that was the question I was asking in the song. So I want to ask you to just listen in to yourself, listen into that deep inner knowing, and really recognize that 2012 presents the opportunity for us to move back into the position of empowerment, where we no longer need to give our power away. In fact, now more than ever, we need to become clear that we do create our reality with every thought. We have this opportunity to harmonize, and let's look at where we can again inspire this integrity and bring this into all of our relationships, particularly our relationship with the cosmos, the universe, this creative matrix that we have the opportunity within which we live. These times are very, very sacred. And so with that, I hope you enjoy this song entitled Circle.
Soon you will get free from the vicious cycles and circles. Nothing's new, still all is changed. If our thoughts create our reality, well, tell me who controls our brains. Oh, cycles and circles. Nothing new, still all is changed. Our thoughts create this reality, so we must control our brains. Oh. Tell me, who controls your brain? Who controls your heart? Who controls your life? Who controls your love? Life is a sacred hoop, a gift from the source. There's room enough for all living things. Let nature take its course. Man has never had control. The dawn has now revealed the world of fear. Watch it fade away. Only love, only love is real. Nothing's new, still all is changed. Our thoughts create our reality, so we must control our brains. Cycles and circles. Nothing new, still all is changed. Our thoughts create this reality, so we must control our brains.
We must control our brains. How about it? Sounds like some simple truth, if you ask me. I mean, of course, I would be a little partial. That's a song that I wrote many, many years ago, and certainly inspired in part by my exploration in the beauty and the elegance of what is known as the dream spell or the natural time paradigm. With that, I'd like to welcome to the show my good brother, the Red Rhythmic Dragon, who also happens to be a white solar world bridger this year, my brother Jacob Wyatt in Lakesh. Brother, how you doing?
In Lakesh, Makua, doing really well. And I'd just like to thank you for that beautiful and moving song. It was just such a pleasure to hear.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, I know you yourself, you're a musician. I know that that's been more of a recent discovery I've had about you. Mm-hmm. We get to learn each other and know more about our kin all over the planet. With this organic flow, I know you had some concert event or something over the past couple of days. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. I play in the local band here in Ashland, Oregon, called the Southern Oregon Concert Band, and it's like a full size band, you know, with brass and winds and percussion, and I play percussion. And we just actually performed a little Holy Day concert at the middle school in a nearby town called Medford. And so it was a real good time. It's a nice thing to have a creative outlet.
I mean, time is art, right? I mean, that's the whole of it, really and truly. Finding many, many unique ways to explore our creativity. So I know you spend obviously a lot of time as the operations manager at the Foundation for the Law of Time, so it's good to know that you also have some additional outlets. I mean, I can imagine that your work with the Foundation must inherently be creative. I mean, I certainly know that a little bit knowing you as I've been getting to know you over the past few years. And I certainly, for one, want to thank you and Kelly and Red Queen and the others who are involved both on the scene and behind the scenes to continue the perpetuation of José Arguelles' vastly important work. So let me be one to certainly thank you for that from the bottom of my heart, because I know without this information, I can't even really fathom, nor would I want to imagine, where my life would be now. It's just that important. So.
Yeah, hey, the feeling's mutual, Makua, and there's really a great group of people working at the foundation and different translators and people who help make sure everything is running smoothly. And I know that everyone works coming from the heart and doing their best to serve the highest good.
Indeed. Well, we certainly want to just give them a big cosmic hug wherever they may be right now and just say thank you so, so very much. I mean, you know, especially as we near this solstice period over the next couple of days and recognize the significance of the time. We had you on a few weeks ago with the show, and I knew that we wanted to get you back on because it's important that we have opportunities to share with people out there who are asking themselves, what is this 2012 thing all about? What's going on? You know, how do I prepare? What should I be preparing for? So many people have asked me, in fact, you know, what's going to happen on December 21st, 2012? I don't know if you find that question a lot, you know, with people you talk with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously the intention of Sound Synchronicity as another format, another medium to share this inspiration, this information with people, is to explore that question. Let me ask you, though, in terms of your answer, what you give people as an answer when the question is posed to you, you know, what does it all mean, this 2012? What is it all about?
Well, my thinking and answer to that is just that I imagine the most positive thing imaginable to be occurring at that time, and that it's up to us to work together and visualizing and holding a positive vision together. And of course, in the studies of the law of time, there's a lot of layers to it. You know, there's a spiritual level which has to do with you know, the purifying, you'd say, of maybe the old karma of different world systems and stuff that's being played out on our planet right now, and that we all have the honor of dancing with and harmonizing and bringing to light and purifying our own selves in preparation for then what, you know, you can call scientifically a shift into another stage of evolution, where we're going from individualistic, isolated consciousness to a unified collective consciousness, still everyone having their own diversity and individuality, yet at the same time knowing without any doubt and with complete certainty that we're all actually one. So that's also, I guess, a spiritual level of it, but it's scientific in the sense that this also represents the manifestation of a new, you could say, geological layer of the Earth called the noosphere, like the biosphere is the sphere of life on the Earth, and the hydrosphere is the sphere of water. The noosphere will be the sphere of mind, and just like your song had said, how a circle is unbroken, it'll be like the sphere of mind will be unbroken, and we'll all be one consciousness, and it'll be a whole new game for everybody at that point, I think.
Mm-hmm. So the realization of that essential sacred hoop that the Native Americans speak of.
Yeah, exactly.
What a blessing. What a blessing. I mean, it really is an amazing time for us to begin to recognize that oneness that is always there. And yet one thing that really struck me very, very deeply many years ago when I was first introduced to José Arguelles' work was the idea that the conditioning we've been, you know, affected by as it relates to the Gregorian calendar has in effect caused us to have over many thousands of years and then the hundreds of years under the Gregorian this sense of separation from nature. And so it is a really profound thing, as you describe this scientific shift from the biosphere into the noosphere to really have this awakening, almost like a waking dream of something that I think each one of us, if we really reflect deeply, we've always had a sense that things are connected on some level. But the fact that it's actually becoming a very much a consciousness now, something that was maybe unconscious for so many thousands of years, now becoming conscious. I'm certainly excited by your description of the vision for what 2012 holds, and I certainly wholeheartedly resonate with that vision as well. It's a wonderful opportunity to really celebrate this newness, you know, the newness in the sense that we've been operating under separation consciousness for so long. So to literally shift paradigms, to shift our frequency, returning to that sense of oneness is such a remarkable and new feeling. I feel very vitalized, quite honestly, moving forward.
Absolutely. It'll be a really new experience for many, many people because, you know, while there's some people who, you know, just maybe live off the land and they're completely disconnected from any sort of, you know, Gregorian timing system or clocks or whatever, you know, and they experience the flows of natural time, there's still a huge percentage of people out there who you know, don't have that experience. And when they do, it's very rarely and, fragmented, you know. You step outside and you see, oh, it's a full moon. Then you're inside and it's 6 o'clock evening news or something. And you just see, you can really see in a tangible way, actually, how the calendar as a tool has not helped in our connection with nature. You know, the word calendar means account book, and when you look at that, it actually just points to the fact that from the outset, the use of the calendar's intention was to know when to pay taxes and when the bills are due and that kind of thing. But as far as indigenous societies go, for, you know, and had been practicing for much, much longer than like anyone in the world has been following the Gregorian calendar, their practice was that the calendar was what plugged them in to the cycles of nature, you could say. You know, it's the whole cultural and ritual round of their life and their worldview and their views of themselves was intimately connected to the cycles of nature through the use of their calendars. You'd have the celebrations and very important cultural culminations happening on like the equinoxes and the solstices and with the lunar phases. And when you get like with the Mayan culture, you know, they had so many calendars synchronizing so many different cosmic cycles, you know, that they were really deeply exploring that, you know. And it's much different now because if you say, well, hey, it's December, whatever, it's just kind of, you know, it doesn't really mean anything as far as like your celestial connection to your reality, other than maybe like, okay, well, we'll be celebrating Christmas this year, or like sometime around here, Hanukkah might be happening, or, you know, Kwanzaa's mm-hmm. coming up, or, you know, it's, and even in that sense, it's like, you know, the Hebrew calendar exists independent of the Gregorian calendar and doesn't necessarily adhere to, you know, December or any of those particular months, you know.
Exactly. It's really something, too, because obviously this shift is not done in isolation. We really begin to recognize the more we pay attention that people everywhere, I mean, really for the past 30 or 40 years, have been gradually and more rapidly now, as we see in more recent times, coming to an awareness that something phenomenal is changing. Something is just really beyond our comprehension. There's an intuitive knowing, there's a feeling, a sense that the way things have been has been inappropriate in terms of us having optimal health and well-being and living a more full, creative, exuberant life. And what's interesting is, as you know, over the past couple of days, on the Rhythmic Earth Day specifically, there was a wonderful event in New York City that I had a chance to attend that was a celebration of this new planetary consciousness. And it was also specifically celebrating the lives of both Terence McKenna, a very important researcher and observer of these changing times, as well as Jose Arguelles. And I'm happy to report that the event was certainly a powerful event. The good brother Rob Lucente, Electric World Bridger, who was the guest on Sound Synchronicity 7 days ago, was responsible for producing this event with some really wonderful volunteers. I met some beautiful people up there, and everybody is looking at this time. And there was a general sense of positivity and elation for what is potential, for what's to come. I found myself in a number of conversations surrounding the 13-moon, 28-day calendar because thanks to the Foundation for the Law of Time, there were a number of pocket calendars there that we could give to people to help inspire them and help tune them in. So certainly thank you to you and the Foundation for providing those synchronometers. They were certainly well received by the good people of New York City. And that event, again, was really, really something. Now, let me ask you this. With relationship to Terrence McKenna specifically, mm-hmm. I've been, you know, inspired to learn more about the time wave zero that he was responsible for essentially identifying. And in identifying this, and this being some work relative to the I Ching, the hexagrams of the I Ching, which we also know are overlaid in the Dzogchen and in the Law of Time studies. Have you yourself had a chance to look into much of Terrence McKenna's work? We do know he transitioned in the year 2000, so it's you know, it's been some time since he's had a physical presence on the earth, but I know that there's a continuing and lingering effect, as a lot of his work was identifying the shifting point of 2012 and specifically.
Yeah, that really is the extent of my understanding of Terrence McKenna's work. I haven't studied it, but I've heard how he came to the date of 2012 independently of any studies of any, you know, Mayan calendric calculations or anything. So it's pretty incredible that same date was arrived at. And, you know, here we are 13 days away from that year, and we really need to figure out who does control our brains, and what are we going to do with our brains to bring down the biggest and most positive vision that we can together?
Absolutely, certainly agreed in that regard as well. We have a wonderful, unprecedented opportunity before us, and we certainly don't want to be, considered to waste the opportunity. So
yeah, it's really a great opportunity to do everything you can, and just whatever inspiration you have to come together and be creative together, and really embody a unification is any effort you take in those directions is going to be completely supported from what I feel by the universe and by the whole process of what's happening, because since what's happening is a shift into a unification of consciousness, the more we can embody that, the better. And, you know, you can see in just the world events and everything, there's definitely a sense of looking for solutions, and I can see why people would be elated at an event like the one you attended in New York, because it's, you know, you can see, hey, we're all here together and we're all holding a vision. We know that something better is going to happen. And just the fact that we want something better, you know, both for ourselves and for future generations on this planet. And it's really empowering to come together and share space together like that, and so that you can, you know, mutually inspire and also co-create each other in a positive direction. And I think the song you chose is so appropriate because it talks about cycles and circles and what we're going to do with our brains. And I just really like that because here we are 13 days away from 2012. And in 2012, the whole year is going to be paced with the program known as the Harmonic Convergence of 2012, which like the Harmonic Convergence of 1987, will have as its central point synchronized meditations. But for the year 2012 and for the Harmonic Convergence of 2012, the synchronized meditations will be happening on a cyclical basis where we together unify on a cyclical program, unify our brains and our hearts to synchronize into these meditations. And it creates and prepares for what it's really going to be like when, you know, when the lights really come on and we really see that we're here as one being together, you know?
Yes, definitely. For listeners who are just new to some of this information, One of the meditations that our good friend Jacob is referring to is known as the Rainbow Bridge Meditation, the Circumpolar Rainbow Bridge Meditation. And this is certainly an awesome opportunity for us to connect more divinely, I would say, with the mind of Earth. So as we're making this shift, this biosphere-noosphere shift, I'd like also to encourage people to do some of their own research with regard to some of these concepts. I mean, obviously, the Law of Time website is a great portal of information and research, and I would also encourage people to look into a couple of other names, one of them being V.I. Vernadsky, that's V-E-R-N-A-D-S-K-Y, a Russian scientist who nearly 100 years ago, along with Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, another name, a French Jesuit priest, if I'm not mistaken, they were both responsible for helping to identify this important transition that would be happening now, that which we're actually here to physically and emotionally, spiritually, energetically, consciously experience now. They were foretelling of this 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's right.
To that end, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to point out that Vernadsky really was at went to great lengths to say how statesmen and politicians should both be aware of this imminent shift. And I've noticed in Jose's work, he quotes that many times, and I think it's worth considering, you know, the fact that that this scientist would have said that at that point. And it seems, you know, it'd be a great opportunity if people of that caliber and that kind of access would acknowledge and act, you know, according to the fact that this is actually occurring, because it would really probably help to mobilize a lot. On the other hand, you know, you just really can't wait for your congressman or whatever to say, okay, guys, we're going to shift into the noosphere now. So let's all meditate and visualize the circumpolar rainbow bridge right now. You know, it's like, hey, if that happens, that's like a beautiful miracle. And I would just, that would be a happy day to see that happening, you know, local leadership saying something like that. So if there's any politicians out there listening, you can hear from one person.
Or if any of you are related to politicians. If anybody is related to your favorite local politicians, I certainly agree.
Exactly.
It's very interesting. I find myself in discussions with people quite a bit, just indicating to them that the shift that's happening is happening in a way with or without our participation, and that something like the Rainbow Bridge offers us the opportunity to consciously, telepathically let the Earth know, hey, you know, we're sincerely intent on making this shift with you, Mother Earth. You know, there are a number of us here that are growing in our awareness that what's happening is pretty inevitable. And we really want to be part of that number that makes that transition with you. You know, I think that is something, as you said, it's not like we have the luxury of waiting, you know, for the world of the world to get it necessarily, you know. People have a lot of different things that have tied them up and bound them to not getting it, unfortunately. And speaking to that end, I'd like also for you to speak a little bit about another synchronized meditation. So we have the Rainbow Bridge Meditation, which is really helping to bring us into alignment with this biosphere-noospheric shift in preparation for December 21st, 2012 in particular. But there's another simultaneous meditation. And by the way, for listeners, as you said, that's a cyclic meditation that occurs every 7 days. It happens to occur right now up until the, I want to say, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, it occurs up until what would be February, between now and February 29th, it occurs every Gregorian Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
Right. And then because of the way the 13-128-day calendar works, when we have what's known as the Gregorian leap year, day of February 29th in 2012, that synchronized meditation then shifts forward to Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because of the leap day, the leap day on 13 moon calendar is the 0.0 Hunab Ku day, and a day for pure timelessness. And then that day is, that actually happens between any galactic signature and between any day of the week. So the Rainbow Bridge meditation happens on the seventh day of the week, which is known as Celio and corresponds to the heart chakra. And
yes.
You're correct, that happens on Monday all the way up until leap day, and then after that it will be Tuesday, Gregorian speaking.
Exactly. And then from that point up until the day out of time, which is another 0.0 Hunab Ku, essentially, a day that is not in the calendar, in other words. So the day out of time is obviously very specifically the day out of time, every July 25th. And again, at that point, then the synchronized timing remaining in Celio will move to the Gregorian Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some interesting shifting happening, I would say.
Yeah, they're like core changes in the...
Shift gears a little bit, acceleration a little bit more.
Yeah.
The thing that I do like, though, is the fact that Rainbow Bridge meditation occurs, as you said, with the day Celio, which relates to the heart chakra. So the day when that plasmic solar energy that's in the Earth's atmosphere is charged of the heart chakra, which in itself is part of a 7-day completion cycle. Now, obviously, this becomes a little advanced for some people, but I also find that when people can actually get a visualization for it, it really, really helps. So I certainly, to that end, encourage people to go to the lawoftime.org website, and at the very least, you can go there under the 13-moon calendar section, and you can download a free version of the White Rhythmic Wizard synchronometer for this current White Wizard year. Which I know certainly has a beautiful display of the 7-day cycles, how every moon has seven times four, 28 days each. And so they'll see the Celio day, the seventh day of each seven cycle. And it'll create a helpful visual idea of when this meditation is actually happening worldwide. Now, as I said, there's a tendency, though, that many people who would even on some level desire to get this, as I essentially feel that everybody, no matter who, has the essential heartfelt desire for love and loving attention and affection. I mean, it's the most natural human thing, I would imagine. And yet there are aspects that have kept us knotted up, if you will, and prevented us from actually accessing that in our most natural, essential way. And so there is another synchronized meditation referred to as the Untying Six Astral Knots, Untying the Knots and the Return to Sacred Time meditation. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah, as you said, it's called Return to Untie the Knots, Return to Sacred Time meditation. And that refers to a certain tradition of Mayan called the Quechua, and they... pointed out that this cycle is for the purpose of, as you said, untying these astral knots. And what they're calling an astral knot is, you could say, a defect as a result of living in artificial time. So it's directly connected to the fact that by and large, human civilization is unplugged from the cycle of nature and plugged into just a machine frequency, machine or artificial timing frequency. And the six astral knots, as a result of living in artificial time, these knots were tied. And so the idea of the meditation is to tune into these different energies or aspects of spirit and consciousness, and to open them and release them. So kind of like giving yourself a spiritual deep tissue massage, and you're releasing you're releasing all the knots and tensions that are in there so that everything can be flowing properly. That would be one way of looking at it. And the six knots correspond to six, as I said, very particular energies. The first knot corresponds to memory or cosmic memory, in the sense of, where we really come from why we're really here, why we decided to come here in the first place at this time, and what our purpose is, those kind of things, you know. And so when you meditate on opening your cosmic memory, you know, you see, just keep your mind open to feeling what comes into you. Like, what does that mean for you to open up your cosmic memory? And then,
okay.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, so that memory then, if I'm not mistaken, relates then to the solar seal of the red dragon, or Emish, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right, exactly.
So maybe people could, in terms of the 13-moon calendar, find the correlation there as well. So in their own research, their own meditation on that, they can envision the red dragon tribe, specifically that specific solar seal, relating to the memory as you're speaking of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. And on the website, it shows in the instructions the correspondences with the solar seals, and also where these solar seals appear in the chakra system. So, like, in particular, the red dragon tribe appears in the throat chakra, and so you might visualize or focus your meditation on that area for opening up the cosmic memory knot. That's correct. Each one of the knots corresponds to one of or six out of the 20 solar seals, and the next knot is the knot of cosmic awareness, and that corresponds to the solar seal of the yellow seed. And it has to do with the primal cosmic awareness, or just natural awareness, self-born or unborn awareness, just pure awareness without labels, without anything else aside from the fact that it is awareness. And so that's an interesting thing to focus upon, because our awareness a lot is very clouded by various things when living in an artificial time. You know, you have deadlines or debts, or, you know, even different programs based on what day of the week it might be. You know, it's subtle, but it's there. You know, when for most people, when Monday comes around, you know, it means something inside of their awareness. You know, it changes or colors awareness in a particular way, and it might be different for everybody, but there's definitely something about those days of the week, you know, for example. And also, not to mention just all the conditioning that comes, you know, just through life, and like, just the teachings of like meditation practice and those type of practices to clear your mind and come back to your primal awareness point out, is that throughout life, inevitably these conditions come, and you need to make them conscious and see them for what they are, from your own pure awareness. So you can see that, oh, that's just a program. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to behave in this way, because it's just this program. I don't have to let it make.
It's interesting, like, too, just a point in terms of that awareness, the fact that we relate to the, you know, the Gregorian cycle of 7 days as a week. So it's interesting, because the sound vibration of the word week is very disempowering.
That's right. Yeah.
So start your week on Monday. Prepare to be weak on Monday, the beginning of your weakness, essentially.
Uh-huh, that's right.
So it is very important, you're right, to have that awareness, that seed awareness that the yellow seed offers.
Yeah, that's right.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and in the 13-moon calendar, the week is called a heptad. So, like, just it's like the Latin word for seven, hepta. So the 7-day cycle is called heptad. So to overcome that spell of week. The second knot is the yellow seed of intrinsic awareness, and that corresponds to the root chakra, and so you can focus there as well. And then the third knot is the knot of purification or self-healing, which corresponds to the red moon tribe, and is also located in the root chakra. And so when opening that knot, it's the idea of, you know, releasing yourself back into the empowerment that you can purify yourself. You'd have the capacity to bring yourself back to wholeness and health, and you require little else beyond your own internal systems and your own power to do that, rather than giving it away to pharmaceuticals, or you know, or you think you might need money to be able to get this, to be able to get healthy. You know, it's like it's all just right in your hand. Like there's no intermediary.
And exactly. So really, really quickly then to that point, the purification, the root chakra, that red moon or the flow, the energy of flow, I can imagine that there's been a lot of programming relative to our sexual nature, for example. So people have been basically inundated with this program, be it through religion or institutions or media, that their inherent sexual nature is filthy or bad, things like that. So maybe part of that purification there that's really, really deep for us as a humanity has to do with bringing light and love to that root chakra, to that basis of our creative selves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just as much a part of us as anything, and it has a very divine purpose just like everything else. And
that's right.
You can see, man, living in an artificial kind of civilization, it's you know, when they say sex sells or whatever, you know, it really has been exploited in a big way.
Yes.
And has definitely received a really bad rap from that and gets a lot of, a lot of suppression. It's very, very deep suppression there.
So
that's in the root chakra. It's really opening up the root. And then the knot after that is the knot of unconditional love, which corresponds to the white dog tribe. And it's located in the crown chakra. So it's like divine unconditional love. You know, you can imagine that it comes from above, you know. It's divine and it descends upon you and opens and, you know, it goes down your system and opens up the heart. And that just basically is very simple, just opening up your unconditional love as the natural response to everything in the world.
Yes.
And then the next one is the knot of intelligence, and that corresponds to the yellow warrior tribe. And that one's very interesting. That's also located in the throat chakra. And you know, the yellow warrior tribe has the powers of fearlessness and intelligence. And this is, again, kind of like a self-empowerment thing, you know, because you have to acknowledge that you have intelligence, just like everything in the universe is completely orchestrated by an absolute saturation of intelligence, you know. I mean, if you ask me, like, the debate on intelligent design is, like, way, like, old, you know. I mean, obviously everything's working in perfect order, and it's not just, like, happenstance that that's the case. And we humans, as members of this entire system, just like everything else in the whole universe, are completely saturated with that intelligence that allows us to fulfill our purpose and to do what we need to do and accomplish what needs to be accomplished. And the knot after that, which is the sixth knot, is the knot of meditation. And that corresponds to the white mirror tribe, and also the solar plexus is where it's located.
Okay.
This knot, again, is just about opening up your meditation. Open up the meditation to pure awareness. And again, when you look at this as far as knots being tied due to living in artificial time, you can see how the civilization we've ended up creating is really, it's difficult to, you know, find time for meditation. I mean, the biggest complaint is you don't have enough time, and you know, it's a challenging thing. I mean, for many people that I've talked to, it's like the hardest thing about them to start a meditation practice is they feel like they don't have time, you know. But if you know, if we sit down and really actually start to honestly, like, tally up what we do with our time, you know, you might be kind of shocked by the end of the week, like, how many hours you spend doing things that actually you don't want to do, or that you just are sick of doing, or even just wrote programs that you're just kind of like doing automatically. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's great to make it conscious, you know, and it's very empowering to make it conscious so you can see, oh, okay, this is right. Next time I think I need to do that, maybe I'll sit down and meditate for a little bit instead.
Indeed.
For example.
Wow. Yes, certainly so. I mean, I can only imagine looking at myself, you know, how much I could certainly benefit from giving a focus to these specific areas, and then the correlation of the chakras itself. Now, let me ask you this. Understanding with the earth, it having its whole on body and the chakras as they're related. Now, I know that when you speak of, for example, the love and unconditional love being the crown chakra, now that directly relates to the whole on of the earth, correct?
Actually, the knot that corresponds to unconditional love is the white dog tribe, and that is in the northern, the northern polar region of the earth, on the way the solar seals correspond to the regions of the earth. Is that what you mean?
Okay. Yes, exactly. So just an understanding, when we relate for listeners, that when we speak of the throat chakra, for example, or the solar plexus or the crown chakra, that the reference as to how it's actually identified as such is because that's where that particular tribe is on the planet Holon, that people can see images of in the almanac, for example, or information even in the pocket synchronometer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's correct. It's the so you're lining up your own chakra system with also the chakra system of the earth, and that way also connecting yourself with the consciousness of the earth too. So it's kind of interesting that you have the rainbow bridge, which Jose Reyes also referred to as the rainbow brain of the earth, and then you have the untying the knots, which kind of stitches the chakra system or the etheric channel system of the earth. And then by doing this, you can see how you are becoming the earth and tuning back in to the purity of those areas in the earth. Because as you mentioned, like in this shift, the earth is going to be just fine. It's actually an opportunity for us humans to rise to the occasion and really evolve and unify together and connect our consciousness with the earth. So like all these things like unconditional love and intelligence and purification, like the earth's already got it going on completely. If we line ourselves up with the consciousness of the earth, then this is how we can tune back into something that was our birthright in the first place anyway, actually.
Absolutely. And it is amazing. When I think of false time, a word that automatically comes up for me is amnesia, that we've been living with this amnesia, essentially. In other words, we have forgotten, even as you said with that first knot, the memory. We've forgotten due to false time, due to having that as sort of this overlay of our day-to-day experience here. It further imposes this amnesia more deeply. And then it's also passed down, obviously, socially and genetically even. So this is really a very important practice of retrieving our essential nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that memory one is a really fascinating one to contemplate because, if you think about the process of history, like you think of how complex things have gotten in once we have begun using like artificial time and once that became the overlaying program for everyone to follow, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, everyone's got the same clock on the same time, and it's like who determines how long a minute is, and it's just this it's this really it's an arbitrary thing just used to get everyone to move around more quickly and quick enough to be able to keep up with, the machine that we created in the first place.
Exactly.
So it's interesting to think of how complex everything got because of how quickly everything went. And if you go back, thousands of years before that, into more primal kind of indigenous areas of history, it's interesting to think that, there's not like this whole huge documentation of everything that was going on, It was maybe more spiritually based, in other words, there was no real need to, so thoroughly define their history and say, like, okay, we did this, we did that, we're this group and we accomplished this, and they're that group and they accomplished this and we did that. And, it was everyone, it seems, at least to point to a type of consciousness that was a lot more timeless and just and spiritual, just in a fundamental way, just not so concerned with what necessarily was occurring in the third dimension as, their mythology and the view of the creation and their place in the cosmos. So it's very interesting, because you come born into this world and like pretty much everyone in the room probably, has, maybe 50 years of history that they're aware of or something like that, you know. And it's like it kind of acts as a big wall to act for the memory to actually go way back to, like, you know, what it's really about, why we're really
here. Exactly. Wow, this is really, really something. I mean, what an amazing gift. And to find the intersection, as you mentioned at the beginning of discussing this, how the community of the Quechqui Mayan elders of Guatemala were the ones originally promoting this particular approach, and we begin to see the correlation then as this relates to the Earth's or the planet Holon and our chakras, our relationship, and this being a complementary meditation simultaneous with the 7-day or the every heptad, the 7-day cycle of the Rainbow Bridge. Now, this particular Untie the Knots, Return to Sacred Time, this occurs every 13 days, correct?
Yep, exactly. Every 13 days. And the difference between this and the Rainbow Bridge in its cyclic nature is that it's not interrupted by the leap day or the day out of time. So it's just a straight 13-day cycle right up until as close as you can get to December 21st, 2012.
That's right. So the next one, actually, for listeners, just so you know, because as this, again, is a globally synchronized meditation, there will be many, many people the world over observing this 13-day Untie the Knots, Return to Sacred Time, Sacred Round. This meditation, the next specific day in the sequence will be Gregorian December 27th, and that will be the next one. So it's the opportunity to tune in and participate in this. It's a very, very healing and revealing, sounds like a very empowering and a restorative practice. And that day specifically is Kin 108, Yellow Self-Existing Star, also known as Gregorian Tuesday, December 27th. I find it interesting as well that the 108 is the day and that this is a sacred round. So for people who practice particular types of meditation, cultures coming from the Vedas of India, other Buddhist meditations, they know the importance of the 108 round as well. So I find that a very interesting synchronicity, numerically speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the 108 recitations of different mantras.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's certainly another wonderful sacred round, and looking at how that connects with this opportunity for us to return time to the sacred round. And that's essentially what we're doing. We're returning time to the sacred round in this meditation because it has become bound up due to our overemphasis of the frequency that's been disconnected from the frequency of creation. So this is
incredible opportunity. Before you ever thought about getting a watch, you already had 20 fingers and toes and 13 major articulations. And that 13 and 20 is the exact frequency of time. And so we are actually the embodiment of time. So you just got to shed all this extra stuff and get back to sacred time.
Exactly. So when we really say that we're in the time being, we literally are.
In the time being, that's right.
The spacesuit that we have embodied is really an amazing, amazing vehicle. And it really is a vehicle for consciousness. And that's the beauty of also this transition from the biosphere, noosphere transition, is that we understand that things have been done for so many thousands of years unconsciously, and now everything is coming into the consciousness. And so we are becoming attuned by choice or by force with the greater consciousness of the mind of the earth, which is such a sacred opportunity. And I say by choice or by force because there is a statement that says, choose your change, or your change will choose you. So this is an incredible opportunity, particularly with these meditations, for us to choose to be the change that we want to see in the world. As we've certainly heard pronounced by many people that are participating in the consciousness shift, and that statement by none other than Gandhi himself, choosing to be the change we want to see in the world. Now, this does provide a direct application for how to actually activate and restore that within ourselves. I want to encourage people to visit www.lawoftime.org and go to the 13 moon section in the website. You'll find tabs at the top. And there is, again, the Untying the Knots meditation that you will find information on there. an easy way to find it as well, if having difficulty locating them on the website, is to simply do a Google search for Law of Time and Untying the Knots, and it'll take you right there to the page where you'll find the schedule of this specific meditation. There's also something there that allows you to order a free 13-moon pocket calendar. Now, I understand that the Foundation doesn't have any more physical copies, but not to worry, because they can download an amazingly beautiful PDF version for free right there from the website. And we certainly want to encourage people to do that and begin to, as I say, walk the 13 moons and find their place in the sacred round. For we all have a seat at the table, for sure.
Yeah, that is.
And I know also we would like to emphasize, I want to make sure we don't forget to mention this, a very, very incredible book that can be found on the bookstore as well on the lawoftime.org website, Time, Synchronicity, and Calendar Change. So it's speaking of the life of the visionary Jose Arguelles, authored by Stephanie South, also known as the Red Queen. It's an amazing book that I am thoroughly enjoying myself. And I find it to be very important because, you know, it's important to understand the story, particularly of somebody as profound as Jose Arguelles, understanding what made him tick, so to speak, pardon the pun. But, you know, the idea of what motivated him, what was the sequence of events in his life, what are the synchronicities that led him to the retrieval of these sacred codes when we speak of the 1320 frequency. These are universal codes that he was basically, in no small part, really responsible for restoring to our consciousness. And so that's something very important to learn about for those that are really intent on learning how to live in natural time. It's very helpful as a reference to read that book because it definitely reveals a lot of his own life, you know, both the challenges and the victories that come along with being such an incredible visionary. And I cannot encourage enough that people go and certainly make a purchase of that book because it's a very revealing piece of literature. Really, a very unique life Jose Arguelles embodied in this particular incarnation, also known as Valum Votam. So I want to encourage people to certainly look to purchase that book via lawoftime.org. And also I want to encourage people to visit the Facebook page, facebook.com/galactic synchronization, galactic synchronization. As we enter this year of harmonic convergence, it's not just 1 or 2 days as it was in 1987. That was really setting the stage for this whole solar cycle, essentially, which really does kick off, I would say, in the next couple of days as we're approaching a one-year count, a countdown essentially to the end of the Mayan long count calendar, which we know ends December 21st, 2012. And we have, you know, a really profound window in which to really synchronize ourselves and to be rest assured, you know, because I find that many people may feel like they're alone when it comes to learning about this type of thing. And it helps to resonate with something deep inside of them that they always knew something was off and that they were here for a very special purpose. And I really want people to feel encouraged to know that there are many people the world over, just like you, who are also asking very similar questions and coming to very certain discoveries of themselves. And so it's something to certainly be encouraged in. And a way to connect with people, both in the cybersphere, is obviously the facebook.com/galactic synchronization page. We also have another group in the internet referred to as synchronized surfing. So you can do a Facebook search inside of Facebook for the words synchronized surfing, and that will take you actually to a group page where we're encouraging people to share their experiences as they participate with the 13, rather with the Rainbow Bridge meditation as well as the Untying the Knots meditation. So we want to encourage people to tune into that and find ways to connect with other people because that's how we do create harmony, is when we recognize that so many people have shown up at this time to be part of this grand orchestra, this harmonic arrangement, consciously speaking. So it's a really wonderful thing. Are there any other things you'd like to share, brother? We are rounding out the 90-minute segment of Sound Synchronicity, so I want to offer you an opportunity for something else on your heart to share with listeners as we approach this amazing time here.
Yeah, well, no, thanks, Makua. Everything is really well put. Just want to encourage everyone to do as you had and advised, and check out those Facebook pages and find ways to connect with each other and really work together. And and you can go to, as you mentioned, lawoftime.org, and you can learn all about those meditations and see what it's all about. And just God bless everybody.
That's right. I mean, specifically, as you say that, it reminds me of Jose's final words. In fact, as he was yet embodied, and he said, "Everything is perfect. Love everyone, hate no one." You know, and that's really just divine, enduring wisdom to carry us through this amazing transition point. And I'm looking forward to being able to have you on the show regularly as we continue to forward over the next solar cycle. As we lead up to the auspicious date, December 21st, 2012. I'm just looking forward to having a chance to connect with you and the good people of Ashland more in the near future as well. I know that this July 25th is going to be an incredible day out of time celebration, and I'm really holding the vision that we can really sound the trumpet, so to speak, worldwide and really stimulate and encourage the participation of people who have been following the important work of Jose Arguelles and the foundation for many, many years. Some people which have sort of gone away on their soul's journey, their life stream, and journeyed into exploring other things and learning and receiving, and really encourage them. It's kind of like a homecoming opportunity for all of us. So I'm certainly envisioning that this year in particular, forthcoming Gregorian year of 2012, is going to provide a profound opportunity with the day out of time on July 25th. So we're planting that seed right now over the airwaves, that people certainly look forward to that and again continue to tune into these synchronized meditations. That will be a very, very important day, in fact, for the Rainbow Bridge meditation, as it always has been. So we're looking forward to the momentum building with these synchronized meditations leading up to the day out of time and beyond, as we ultimately are arriving at what's known as galactic synchronization, hence the name of our Facebook page, which happens on and before the day out of time and the new serious year of 2013, July 25th and 26th. So we have many wonderful adventures before us, and I certainly thank you, my red rhythmic dragon brother, for helping us retrieve our memory, organizing and balancing our memory with us. It's truly appreciated in the work you do. So thank you so very, very much.
Yeah, hey, you're welcome, World Bridger brother. And just remember, like they say, without a vision, the people will perish. So just hold the vision of the rainbow. It's the healing of the whole earth and everybody in all of different colors and every age and walk of life unified. So we can hold it together.
Absolutely. Well, we certainly thank you. We send our love out there to all of our family and friends in the Ashland, as you called it, Lemuria Ashland zone out there. So thank you again so much, my good brother, and we will talk very, very soon.
Okay, thanks, Makua. Blessings to you.
In Lakesh. You are listening to Sound Synchronicity here on Now Time Radio. I do pray that today's presentation has been uplifting, inspiring, even enlightening for you. And with that, we will move forth, provide some sound frequency to further support this shift. We're going to go home on a song entitled "To Build a Home," "To Build a Home" by Cinematic Orchestra. So enjoy the sound frequency. Thank you for tuning into Sound Synchronicity tonight. Please continue to check in with facebook.com/galactic synchronization, as well as visit www.lawoftime.org. You can also look at the 1320 blog written by Stephanie South, providing some really profound insight as she is holding a very deep space in meditation for every kin on the planet. It's a blessed time. It's a good time to be alive, a good time to love yourself and be good to each other. Thank you again for tuning in to Sound Synchronicity in Lakesh.
place where I don't feel alone. This is a place where I feel at when God